They had lunch on the houseboat, which served the trio as mobile workshop and base of operations. Mutie rat wasn't on the menu. The scabbies told their guests that to be digestible, it had to be slow-cooked many hours in a covered pot, then marinated in red chili sauce, at which point it became an excellent tamale filler. Instead, there were chicken enchiladas and beans. JB talked shop with Teo. The large, lumpy, coverall-clad man was the general fix-it guy and machine doctor, who both kept the mechanisms the team used, such as pumps and generators, alive and kicking, and examined scavenged equipment to determine its function and whether it was ever likely to be able to be coaxed into performing that function again. He wasn't particularly knowledgeable about blasters, which of course were JB's abiding passion, but the pair had managed to lose themselves in a discussion of small engines. Doc, whose knowledge of Spanish, while both wide and deep, was decidedly non-technical, did his best to keep up the translation. Fortunately, much of the jargon was similar in Spanish and English. Tenorio was discussing the progress of the team's survey of the block with Ricardo and Claudia. His two bodyguards were squatting up on the roof, smoking hand-rolled cigarettes and batting the breeze, apparently out of preference. Ernesto was back on the water wag, worrying on the radio. Cleaned up, Claudia, the intrepid dead skyscraper spelunker, proved to be a strikingly pretty woman, almost certainly not as young as she looked, with fine features, big dancing dark eyes, and a restless manner. As she talked, she kept playing with her prize find of the day, a squat, 3-inch-tall wind-up toy in the shape of a green lizard with a row of yellow spines down its back. It still worked. Claudia would wind the plastic key, and it would waddle across the table, growling.
What do you reckon that thing is, anyway, Christy?
She looked at him as if the question were double stoop at the very least.
It's Godzilla, Ricardo.
Si, si, es Godzilla.
I'll be switched.
The little monster fetched up against a big bowl with faded fruits painted along the rim. It continued to try to advance, little wind-up motor grumbling and stumpy feet churning.
I remember when I was a kid how disappointed I was when I found out he wasn't real.
Then you grew up and found out there were plenty of real monsters to go around.
Ain't that the truth?
Christy looked again at a framed print hanging on the wall beyond the head of the table, over Don Tenorio's shoulder. It reproduced a stylized kind of painting of a woman in a hooded robe surrounded by golden radiance, standing on a crescent shape like a moon, only black. This time, Claudia noted her interest and spoke seriously for once.
Es lady, Lady Ovale.
Yeah, I've seen a lot of those pictures around since we arrived. People still hold all that religious stuff down here?
Oh, si. Veneration of the lady had deep roots. After the conquest by the Spanish, she appeared in that manner you see pictured to an Indian as the Virgin of Guadalupe. But before that, she had been worshipped for centuries by the Indians of the valley as Tonantzin. In both cases, she is, among other things, a spirit of the earth.
Gaia.
Given the seismic activity you've experienced here, no doubt you can understand how a goddess of the earth might play a major role in the lives of our people through time.
Yes, I can.
They were back aboard the Paloma, putting for home.
Didn't you always tell me Gaia wasn't a person?
Yes.
Then what's with all this Lady of the Valley stuff? You acted like you knew what the Mexes were talking about.
The people themselves personalize the forces of the earth. They envision those forces as a lady, a mother goddess. Because the forces are so very strong here, their belief is likewise.
So she's just a Lucy of some kind? A vision that isn't real?
The forces are real, so she is real, here in the valley. She's the way the people perceive the reality. They put a human face on it.
Well, this is all miles beyond me.
She reached up to touch his cheek. He felt the light stubble that sprouted by afternoon, no matter how raw he scraped his face each morning, rasp beneath her fingertips.
Don't worry, lover. The important thing is Gaia's power is great here. Greater than I've ever felt before. And it's helping me heal from what Mildred tells me was a very nasty injury.
Guess you're right.
He was relieved to hear the slightly unsteady footfall of Doc on the deck behind him. He turned.
It would appear the Alcalde is more relaxed about allowing his subjects to carry weapons than most barons of our experience, friend Ryan.
He sure hasn't uttered peep one about our packing.
Where's Jack?
Back aft, watching the wake as if he expects to see naked women splashing in it.
The armorer was carrying his Uzi on its long Israeli-style sling that allowed it to ride horizontal at just above belt level, ready for instant use. For his part, Ryan had left his Steyr sniper rifle back in their quarters. His Sig Sauer P226 seemed sufficient, especially given how well-armed their host's escorts were. Aside from the team manning the big Browning and the Pintle atop the control cabin, he had two bodyguards, no doubt Jaguar Knights, one armed with a Heckler & Koch MP5K, a compact 9mm submachine gun with a foregrip shaped rather like a miniature table leg, as well as a pistol rear grip, the other with a long FNFAL 308 battle rifle. The long blaster man was wiry, the boy with the machine pistol blocky. Both were short, both cheerful, as virtually every one of Tenorio Scavi's the companions had encountered to date seemed to be, but both also seemed tough as the flows of black-shelled lava that seemed the valley. The escorts weren't smoking and joking just now. Like the heavy machine gunners, they were intently scanning the water and the rubble rising to each side.
Boys don't look like they're watching just for practice, do they, Ryan?
Don Tenorio suddenly stepped forward to join his guests.
Your people are pretty sharp-looking, Don Tenorio. So much it makes me wonder what they're looking out for.
The city is full of dangers. The most prevalent, obviously, are environmental. Falling debris, the sudden collapse of a building, snags beneath the water. But there are living dangers as well. Some human, some animal, some...
You keep patrol boats out on the water, I notice.
Oh, yes. The more so since the Chichimecs invaded the valley in force. Sometimes they try to send raiding parties into the city. And sometimes they succeed, because the ruins are too huge for us to throw a completely effective cordon around. Even if we stripped everyone from our work of reclamation, which would defeat our very purpose. So, we stay armed and alert. Also, there are things in the water, in the city itself. Some of them are a great deal more sinister than the rat Claudia killed. The giant axolotl and bass are edible and provide an excellent source of food. Others seem to regard us the same way. Those folk who heard that death still stalked the drowned streets and buildings were not altogether wrong, even though the plagues had long since lost their virulence.
I don't understand why you have muties in and around the city, since it was never nuked and there's so little background radiation.
We have wondered the same thing, Señorita Roth. Many mutant beings, such as the giant rattler you encountered coming over the mountains, no doubt wandered down from the radiation belts to the north in search of prey.
The companions had given their hosts a carefully edited account of their journey, especially the escape from the eruption, that made no reference to the Matrans. So far, they seemed to accept that the companions had driven down from El Norte, skirting the rad wastes by keeping to the coastal region west of the valley's sheltering ring of mountains.
How then might one account for such aquatic denizens as the great axolotls and fish, Don Tenorio?
That has provoked much debate among us, Doctor. Some suggest the young may have swum down from the north in the rivers that flow into the lake. Others object, pointing out that the zones of heavy radiation lie on the other side of the watershed, in the lands we call the Great Chichimeca, the realm of the Chichimecs. They suggest that there may have been agents at work in producing mutation, other than simple radiation. Some exotic form of biological warfare, perhaps. Those who favor the migration theory point out that in all the extensive scientific literature we have recovered and catalogued, there is not the slightest hint of such research. The biowar proponents answer back that such research would be classified the most secure secret, the files encrypted, and so the debate rages.
Just like white coats, always wrangling about stuff that doesn't actually add up to diddly squat.
Ah, but I would beg humbly to disagree, Senor Dix. Whether we are seeking new knowledge or trying to reclaim what our species has lost, we cannot know in advance what bit or piece might help to lift us, lift the world, from the misery and devastation the war left in its wake.
You also don't know when you might resurrect some of the knowledge that brought all the destruction about.
Usted tiene razón. You speak truth, fair lady. Yet we persist, recognizing the risk. What have you encountered in this life that does not entail risk? Even of deadly peril.
Christy smiled and inclined her head, acknowledging his point. Her distrust for science and technology didn't outweigh her own regard for truth. She maintained her integrity no matter the cost, which was often not small in the world they inhabited.
Life's fatal, that's for nuke blasted sure.
They were crossing another open area. This one, however, wasn't entirely devoid of buildings. A pyramid of stone steps rose from the midst, its base submerged in the lake. A shadow crossed Don Tenorio's spare features when his guests pointed it out.
The great sacrificial pyramid of Tenochtitlan. Many thousands of lives were offered to the old gods there. Oceans of blood streamed down those steps. It was discovered, excavated, and partially restored before the war. An irony that it survived untouched, of all things.
Don Héctor dice que es una prueba del poder de los dioses de la antigüedad.
Or perhaps not. As Esteban reminds me, Don Héctor asserts it's proof of the power of the ancient gods, whose worship he seeks to resurrect in the valley.
A gap-toothed grin split the Longblaster man's dark face. He spat over the rail in the general direction of the sacrificial pyramid. As they passed it, Doc pointed with his cane toward a party of three scabbies, roped together and scaling the apparently stone facade of a building just to port of the boat's course, which tilted perilously to the northeast.
What system do you use to assign tasks to your subjects, Don Tenorio?
Assign? Well, sometimes I offer suggestions, even bonuses and awards for particular tasks. But seldom do I assign. I do not hold so much control as you appear to believe, my friend. Mostly my people do as they see best, for their own profit and the advantage of us all.
You keep a mighty loose rein on your subjects for a baron.
I fear you have been laboring under a misapprehension. I am no baron. I am not even a mayor, although it amuses my associates to call me alcalde. The people of the city are not my subjects. They are free companions. Stockholders, if you like, in what centuries ago would have been called a company of adventurers.
Don Tenorio! Mira!
A cloud of dust roiled from a cavity that might once have been a shop display window. A young woman stood amid the dust, holding a rag to her face and frantically waving for attention.
Caving! We must go to their assistance.